guys. Well, this microphone on?
Yes, sir.
Yep, okay, good. Well, as Pastor Dan said, happy belated Christmas to you all. I hope you had a wonderful time. I know we did as a family. It was a wonderful get-together that we had just to wake up that morning. We did have somebody over and really enjoyed having Christmas with them. It's our fifth year having Christmas with that person. We're just blessed to have them in our home. It was Christmas with family. And it was a rather quiet Christmas, but that's how they've been for us these past several years. I grew up in a big family with lots and lots of people, so I was used to running around all over the place Christmas morning, and it's been wonderful living here with just our family, learning how to have a quiet Christmas with family, just our individual family. So we're blessed with that. And this year, if you're here in Southern Maryland, we had a white Christmas.
Woo!
Woohoo! Yeah, it was great. It was the best kind of white Christmas. You know, there was no cleanup. It just fell and looked beautiful outside. But I think it surprised us. I was looking at the weather kind of side-eyed for a while, like, it says it's supposed to snow, but I don't believe it. We had some big flakes at our house. I don't know about you guys. That was really, really cool. And I just felt like, Lord, what a wonderful way for you to wrap up this year for us that has been such a 2020 kind of year. It's the best way I can put it, right? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for what you want to share with us today. I thank you for what you have. I ask that you would just bless the words of my mouth, Lord, that they would come from you for your people, Lord, that you would strengthen us, you would encourage us, you'd give us perspective and vision. I thank you, Lord, that you're in charge. I'm so grateful. I welcome you and I invite you into this time. In your name, amen. Well, there's a theme that we've got going on today, and you'll probably pick up on it. We had wonderful worship that led us there, and Pastor Dan. By the way, I just love Pastor Dan sharing up here. Pastor Dan, thank you for sharing from your life. It's been wonderful. Just, you know, that testimony of God, you know, in that awkward moment, what do I do with this? But God speaking into that and saying, no, this is a token of your future, and to see it come to pass within a year. What an amazing testimony that is. You know, we've got to share our testimonies with one another, because when we share testimony, it releases grace. That same grace for God to touch other people in the way that he's done for us. And so we really want to just keep leading people back to the feet of Jesus. And I'm so proud of Pastor Dan for doing that with us this year. It's been wonderful. I don't know who all here was able to make it out the other night. Wednesday night, we had our Christmas Eve service, which was a lot of fun. Thanks to everybody who was able to pivot and be spontaneous and come out, because we got terribly weathered out on Thursday, and that was just a sloppy mess. And I'm so thankful that we actually opted to go the night before. We had 60 people come out. We had 40 adults and 20 kids come out, and that was just a really great time. And Pete and Carrie did a great job leading us in worship. They had hot potatoes that they were warming their fingers with so they could play their instruments for us. And Rachel Jarbo and Tim Frank got out there early and set things up. We had Steve Poshin help come out and set fires for us. And I know McCumbers and others came out and brought firewood out over the past couple weeks. So it's just a wonderful gathering of the church in this time and in this season. And it was a unique new thing that we've done here at our Father's house. And I was just standing there singing Christmas carols, worshiping the Lord with the rest of you, and just thanking him for his goodness and the ability to do that. You know, this has been a challenging year. It's been a really challenging year. This is the last message of this year. And so I want to share with you all kind of an overview and some takeaways from my perspective on what this year has been. And, you know, like Pastor Dan was saying, as you're coming into this new year, be seeking the Lord for what he wants to be saying to you, for what he is saying to you about the season you're coming into. It's helpful to talk about the season you've just been in with him. It's the, what was that? But where are we going? Because this year was by no means a mistake or a fluke or anything like that. God planned this. He's ordained it. He has purpose in it, and we've got to pay attention to that. We've been saying that throughout this time, but I'm going to give us an overview of where we've been because I think it helps us contextualize what's happening as we're entering into this new year. You know, I had the wonderful opportunity this past week to go spend a day with the Lord. Thank you for giving me that. Katie said, you need to get out of here and just spend some time with the Lord. Just go do whatever you're going to do. And I went on a wonderful journey with the Lord around the counties here, just praying and journaling, and it was wonderful. And he spoke to me about this year that we've been in, some of that I'm going to share with you here today, and then also where we're going in this next year. And it was so wonderful and challenging to review that with him. So let's do a quick look into this year. So I'm going to start with Proverbs 16:9 this morning. It goes like this: in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Never has that verse been more real to me than this year. Of really thinking like, okay, Lord, I know what you're saying. Here we go. We're going to go and do this thing. And then it wasn't anything like we expected it to be. Did anybody expect 2020 to be what it is? Think about January 1st. It just wasn't what we anticipated. But I'll say this, everything that the Lord was talking about at the beginning of the year has been true. It just isn't the picture that I thought it was going to be. And that's wonderful how he does that, because you can be secured in the going, recognizing that I'm not in control here. I've aligned myself with what the Lord is saying, and what is unfolding is not what I expected, but it's still him. He's still here with me in the midst of it. So we came kind of roaring into 2020 this year. I mean, we came off a lot of amazing stuff that was happening at the end of this last year. We got all that prophetic artwork that's out there. Do you guys remember the art display we had with the time? That was amazing stuff. We had incredible prophetic activity that was going on. We had good worship that was happening. We were gearing up for pursuit nights, which have happened now, which is great. But we were really pressing into this time. And we started off in January of this year with me sharing the vision statement for the church. What's the new vision statement and what was behind it and all that. And it was powerful. So remember the vision statement? You've seen it a bajillion times now. We've said it a whole bunch of times. We want to see a hurting world healed and see people launched into their destiny. That's what we're about here at our Father's house in a single statement. What's behind that? You see, putting the Father on display, the Father and Son relationship, spiritual fathers and spiritual sons, stepping into who God has created us to be. All of that stuff is worked into who we are here at our Father's house. But this aspect of healing, this aspect of launching, is something that we have been about for decades. And so the Lord helped us to codify that into a statement that we can recognize as options and opportunities come up for us in the future. Does it fall in line with what God has called us to in this? And so I shared that with you. In the midst of that, we had a baby dedication service. Do you guys remember that? In January? We had our dedication service. I don't know how many kids we had up here. It was probably like 7 or 8 in their families. And we did something new. Do you remember? We had the prophetic ministry up here as we were dedicating the children. And they were submitting to the parents words that the Lord was giving to them for the kids. They're declaring destinies over these children, ranging from brand new babies to a few years old. And it was powerful. I remember one of our members here saying, I'd like to get dedicated again. Because it's just like Pastor Dan was saying, when you know the words that the Lord has said over your life, the promises that he has given you, it helps you through the good times, it helps you through the hard times, it helps you have context for what you're going through in life. And for parents, we need to know what God is saying about our kids for the good times, for the challenging times, for all that. But we have the opportunity as parents and the responsibility to steward God's words over their lives as we're raising them. Because if you have more than one child, you know these came from the same womb, but how are they so different? Children are people. They're not robots. And we're all bent different ways, and we as parents get to raise them into what they've been called to. That was just a wonderful time. I'm looking forward to the next baby dedication. We had a bunch of babies born in the midst of COVID, and we need to dedicate them. And I'm looking forward to being able to do that. We'll figure out how we can do that here. And then in February, we had a month of prayer and fasting. Our first month of prayer and fasting this year. Didn't know it at the time, but we had a month of prayer and fasting. And here were the topics that we were praying and fasting over. An increase in the manifest presence of God. Unity in the church in Southern Maryland. God's blessing in Southern Maryland. And we were praying for the heart of our nation in a presidential election year. COVID was like just starting to show up on the horizon at this point in February. And at that point, it was like, oh, yeah, it's maybe over there. It's not going to turn into much of anything. We had a church administrator, who shall not be named, sitting in the back of the room, who said, hey, guys, we should really be thinking about what could happen with this COVID thing, because it could really have a big impact for us. And yeah, okay, we're sure, yeah. Well, we'll put a couple things on the side notes on that. And boy, turns out he was one of the most prophetic people in the house that time of the year. But I'm thankful that we have many people here within the church that have a heart and an eye for what is happening here. And they do their duties to the utmost for the Lord. So thank you. I'll name it. It's Tim Frank. Tim, thank you so much for looking ahead towards that. He started doing research and started looking into things for us. What a help to us. Because when COVID hit our door, we'd already been doing some thinking. It was largely because of Tim and some others that were looking that way already. We experienced Jane Majeski, one of our matriarchs in the house, go home to be with the Lord in that time frame too. That was a hard one here, still hard, and a hard loss in our community as well. And we had this place packed out with the church and the community coming to just pay their respects to Jane and her family and talk about the amazing woman that she was. That was an incredible time and deeply impactful. That was probably one of the largest gatherings we've had here right before we end up closing the doors. Because in March 15th was the first Sunday we did virtual. The week before that, you remember we were here, we were talking about hand washing and being careful and whatnot, and somebody sneezed and everybody fell apart laughing, all of that. And then the next Sunday we were home. And it's just amazing how quickly that overtook what was going on. So we shut the doors in the church. We did that a little bit ahead of when we were actually required to do that, because as a leadership team, we made the decision to say, you know what? The amount of effort that we're going to have to go through right now to try to bring people into the building is untenable. And we're not sure that it's going to be keeping anybody safe. We're months farther along the line now here. We've been able to make the decisions to come back in, but at the time we said it's time to shut the doors, keep everybody safe. And one by one, as we went through the year, we kept having to take different events and rescheduling them and canceling them. And all of this, we've been talking about transition between Pastor Landy and I at the very beginning of the year. We had multiple events planned to honor him and Patty. And we had a handoff ceremony that's going to be happening about a month ago between he and I. And all that got rescheduled and pushed off and then canceled. And we'll figure it out when everything opens back up again. So in this new year, we'll have some other stuff as we're going to be able to. But it was heartbreaking as leaders to just keep feeling like everything that felt so solid in our hands turned to sand and just slipped through our fingers. And as we tried to grab onto it more, it just kept going more and more out of our hands. And we kept trying to step forward and make things happen, and it just fizzled so many different ways. It was really interesting going from one week to the next, having to do something completely different. That whole week, Brandon Munday and I and others were just in a scramble trying to figure out how we're going to end up doing this. And I know for you guys, you got the news and you had to pivot and think about how you're going to be now experiencing church at home. And we didn't know if it was going to be 2 weeks or a month or what. But I got to hand it to Brandon. Brandon had already done a lot of work up front. We already had an online presence, folks. It wasn't as strong as it is now, but we already had pathways that are now roadways and superhighways for us in how we end up communicating. And Brandon and others really helped us to do that. So I've joked a few times, Brandon rebuilt the church in about a weekend. And he's been remodeling it ever since. And so, but he did a really great job, and I'm really proud of him, and others who have helped along the way as well. So Brandon, thank you very much. It's been a really, really interesting learning curve for all of us in this. For us in the aspect of being able to put things out online and virtually, and from all of you for having to figure out how to receive information and how to find out about things. And the feedback you've given us has really helped us out a lot. It's been a lot of learning for all of us, and we're still learning. That hasn't finished, and I don't think it's going to end anytime soon. We're going to continue to keep figuring out how to do this better and improve as we move into this next season. But pretty early on in the year, as we went into COVID, you'll recall the main topics that the Lord had us going back to right in that moment was rest in the Lord, repentance, and focusing on Jesus. And that has been the same overall theme that he has brought us back to throughout this year. If you go back into last fall, we had Sam Solon here, and he preached to us specifically on rest in the Lord. And that became a word that was incredibly timely for us, and we've been pressing forward into that ever since. That has really been the undergirding. Repentance, rest in the midst of the storm, and focusing on Him. And most of what I felt like I was preaching in that time really just kept drawing right back to that. We even looped back through at least once to talk about resting in the Lord. Because throughout that time, fear was taking hold in so many different places. There was so much confusion that was going on. People were really worried about a lot of different things, and we were just trying to figure out how to land through this. And the Lord really started plotting a course to just move through that storm and hit those waves head on. And so I'm thankful to Him for that. It was really a wonderful, wonderful start to this as we struggled through connectivity and all that other stuff. We had what most of you guys didn't really even see. With the major shutdown, Riversong had to shut its doors. We had to send kids home. And we and the trustees and others were looking at the financial viability of holding Riversong in place for what we did not know was, you know, when or how we would be able to return to that. And the Lord really blessed us with good financial stewardship by our leaders. He poured into us in that period of time. He gave us good strategy. And as He does, He brought us to the point where we were recognizing, okay, Lord, this is a make or break here. And He came through. And I would just so thankful to Him for doing that, because Riversong is our primary outreach to the community, guys. It is a wonderful ministry that we give. We've had families come into the church through that ministry. We've had families come to the Lord through that ministry. It has been wonderful and powerful. And in this time, you betcha, having a wonderful daycare that is functioning well, is clean, is following all the rules and all that is a huge blessing in our community. And so I was really thankful to see when we were able to open our doors back up that we were able to bring kids back in there. And Riversong is doing well. I'm so proud of Dana and her entire team. Rachel, you guys did a great job with that.
Yep.
So I want to thank Dana and Rachel, Tim, Ruth, Val, the trustees, the Board of Governors that are on the Riversong there, and also the parents in the community in Riversong, because our parents really stuck with us in that time and actually helped finance us through that period. So just the Lord came through in a major way. And I was just so proud of that whole effort. Just wonderful. And in and amongst all of this, we've had the national upheaval that has taken place. Masks or no masks, we here at our Father's house, masks in the building here, right? And that's been challenging for some folks. But we have this whole mask, no mask thing. Hug, no hug. Touch, no touch. All that. And we had to figure out what was going to work for us here at our Father's house. We had to go through that. We've got the all the racial tensions and the protests and the riots and all that that took place this year. And we had our own challenge here within our Father's house in how we respond to that, how I responded to that. And I'll say, as I look back across the year, if there is a moment that I fumbled, it was right in that situation there. I've looked back at that and said, Lord, because I led out of my emotions there, I really felt like how I led in that moment really caused some tension here within the body that wasn't necessary and actually caused us to miss some moments in there. And so, as happens with that, I ended up spending, personally, months of trying to bring us back to a standard here within our Father's house, rewriting the ship, helping us really be able to clearly say where we stand, how we move through these types of things, because it was a really challenging moment for us. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that training moment, because these are heavy, weighty things that we're carrying. And we have a long history here in our Father's house of being a place of reconciliation, being a place where God moves and brings healing and community. And so I am so hungry and desirous to see Him use us in that means. I feel like I stepped out in front of my timing there. And so He's allowed us to bring things back, but I believe there's a whole lot more for us in that in the future. And so I'm waiting on Him on that, waiting for His timing, because I think He's got some incredible things for us. In and along that time, we also had the prayer walk with other churches here in Southern Maryland. That, to me, was just a wonderful expression of what God has called us to. We were down at Lexington Park Baptist, and we had just a really great time. Oh, thank you, sir. We had a really great time with several other churches here, praying and walking about unity, freedom, and love in Christ. And we went to the one of the memorials down there, the Freedom Memorial in downtown Lexington Park. It was just a really powerful setting. And you guys showed up. We had like over 40 people there from the church, which was a huge percentage of who was there. And it was powerful. And I was just so thankful to the Lord that He was bringing the church together in that time. Remember, we had been fasting and praying that the Lord would draw the church in Southern Maryland together in this season, and He did. And we got to be part of that. So thank you to everybody who came out for that and participated. That was happening in the midst of the racial tensions and the upheaval and the protests, all that at that same time, where we were able to come together as a community of faith here and just put something different on display. We've had the growing tensions regarding the presidential and national elections that were happening too. And all of a sudden, we started really seeing that there was this theme that was happening across the country of confusion, of chaos, of doubt, of just all sorts of weird stuff. And what we started hearing prophetically in that time was about really how the enemy's been stirring people up against each other. And we saw it in so many places. And we here have tried to navigate through that as well. And so what did we start calling everybody back to? Focusing on the Lord, repentance, rest in Him, and not being like the culture. Really standing apart and being super focused on Him. Remember, not turning to the right or to the left. That the two sides do not have an answer here. But Christ is the answer for every challenge, every situation that we have. And we kept calling us back to that. We reestablished foundational tenets of our faith, things that are non-negotiable. and called us back to a standard of this is who we are in Christ. These are things that we don't really have an option on. We've got to be able to stand on this because the culture is going to assail this. And we as the people of God need to stand firm in this and firm in our identity. We called ourselves back to that. We spoke out very specifically about the Black Lives Matter movement and all that was going on there. And God really started to have us speak very clearly about where we are and who we are and where we stand amidst all the confusion that's out there, all the disarray. God's been calling his people back to himself. We had our virtual VBS. That was incredible. Great job, Mash Terrace, and everybody else who were involved in that. That was so good. You know, we got to use that, but churches actually outside of the state, outside of the country, other people we keep finding out were using the VBS that we did. It was really, really cool to see just how broad that went. And it really started proving to us that the Lord is using us in ways that we didn't think of possible before. Remember, we had started saying at the beginning of 2020 that there's new things that were going to be coming forward in this year. We just didn't know what they were. We thought it was going to be stuff here inside. No, it was God was doing a whole lot more. And so we saw that start to spread out. We returned to our in-person services outdoors, and all of a sudden we're met with the virtual, live, and in-person mix that we're doing right now. You online can't see, but we've got maybe 30-ish or so people in the room here, which means the majority of our church is still coming to us online. And that's a major thing. We didn't go back into the building right away like we could have because we have such a beautiful back lawn and we're able to fit many more people out there. We had around 90 folks there pretty regularly for a while coming in and being with us out on the back lawn. And we really got to enjoy a new aspect of what the Lord had given us here at our Father's house we'd never even done before. He's been adding new people to us here during this time. That's really cool. Katie and I were out walking in the woods with the boys the other day, and we met somebody who's been part of our church for a couple months now, and we had never even met them before. And they're trying, how are we going to get to meet the pastor and his wife? Well, he just meet us out on the trail around the lake. That's how you do it. But it opened up an entirely new possibility, a new experience to us that we had never seen happen before. And at the end of the time that we had gone through reestablishing and reaffirming, here is our standard. This is how we're going to walk through this now and in the future, because this is not the last challenge we're going to be in. This is not the last time we're going to be assailed. The Lord brought us into a 40-day period of fasting and prayer. And that started on the Day of Atonement. Remember, and we said it was going to end 3 days after the election, but for many of us, we recognize it really didn't end 3 days after the election. It's something that we've continued to be in throughout that time, because God has been calling us really to be praying for our nation, praying for what he's doing here, praying about the corruption that we're seeing. We're just really delving into this and praying for the heart of our nation and his purposes here. That was a powerful time. We've had now with the live virtual stuff, we've had many of our leaders come and join Katie and I in praying over different prayer points. We've had just wonderful opportunities to explore some of that. Sometimes it doesn't go so well, you know, but trying out these technologies, learning how to do these types of functions, or while we're taking baby steps right now, it's opening up doors for us in the future that we can't wait to see what God's going to do with it. Because we're going to continue to press in to understand how we do this in-person and virtual thing much more. The virtual stuff is not going away. We've added a whole other core element to our leadership model now, to just because we've recognized this is a new thing that is not going to leave, so we've installed it and we're working through how that's going to play out. I would give you a little peek. Anticipate there will be more stuff in this next new year. I'm looking forward to seeing how God is going to continue to draw us together through that. We re-entered the building here at the end of the year. When it finally got weathered out, we said, all right, it's time to come inside. Like I said, we could have done that a lot sooner, but really our heart has been this entire year, one, to keep things safe for you guys, and two, that when we gather, we get as many people as we can together safely. And being outdoors was the best way for us to do that at that time. When that didn't work out anymore, we've come inside. And what we've seen, those that have been able to come to the into our church services, those numbers diminished significantly from when we were outside. So we're very happy with the decision we made to keep us outside as long as we did, because it gave us good opportunities to be together. But we did a lot of effort to get ourselves back into the building here. And we're still working through what's going on with this, the fallout from the presidential election. There's a lot of tension that's still surrounding this whole thing. We're still praying for God's outcome here. And we're looking forward to having the answer here so we can begin to move forward with together as a nation. And I think when we finally get to a final decision here, we're going to have upset people, regardless of what the outcome is there. And we are called to be those that are healing, reconciling, being God's standard in the earth. And so we're preparing for that time. Much of what we're still praying for is for God's outcome in this situation and to prepare his people and to deal with whatever the outcome is there. That is not finished. That's not changed. We've been able to hold our first pursuit night. We did that last month. That was great. I loved it. We had somewhere around 30-some folks in here, and we just worshiped our lungs out in this place. It was just wonderful. I can't wait for the next one. I'm going to talk about that at the end, by the way. Those of you, maybe not everybody's aware of this, but we actually held a Christmas concert with the Christian Fellowship of Southern Maryland virtually just a couple weeks ago. So the Christian Fellowship of Southern Maryland is led by a pastor down at the True Holiness Church in Park Hall, Bishop Spence. And he is one of the ministers that we've started to relate to. Well, Pastor Lanny's known him for a long time. I've started relating with him and other pastors over the past few years. And we've been doing prayer at the fair with them and lots of other stuff. And so we did the prayer walk earlier with them and other churches. And so I joined up with them and said, I'd love to be part of this this group. And it's just wonderful ministers from many of the churches here in Southern Maryland. And they regularly do an Easter concert and a Christmas concert. And we almost canceled the Christmas concert this year because we said we can't get everybody's churches together in one place. That's just not going to work out well for us. Because we have been pressing in so much across the year into the virtual space and how to live stream and broadcast and do all that, we put our hands up and said, we can help out to put this concert on virtually. And so Brandon Monday and others helped to get videos together from all these churches. We had Christina and Rhema and Bethany Monday sang from our church. We had singers singing. We had people praying. It was great. And stitched it all together, and we broadcast that on the 12th of December. And it did not come across as the Our Father's House logo. We were able to help support the ministry with that. And I'm so proud of our people for being able to have taken the time to become excellent at what we're doing so that we could be a blessing to the church here in Southern Maryland. And that was something that was broadcast on Facebook and YouTube, and it's been played and replayed numerous times now. I'm just so thankful for how the Lord has been just really come through on that. And then this last month, we lost Danny Hartwell, which was such a hard loss for us. It was sudden, it was unexpected. And like we lost one of our matriarchs at the beginning of the year, we lost one of our patriarchs here at the end of the year. And I'm so proud of you as a church for how you have come around these families in these challenging times, in these challenging seasons. And we're able to celebrate these beautiful, wonderful testimony lives of God's goodness and faithfulness, and then to come around the families and really demonstrate what it is to be a family of God together. It was just wonderful. And we still had our Christmas boxes that we sent out. We had our angel trees. You guys, you know, really helped support that well. I'm just thankful for that. And then the Christmas Eve service just was a wonderful way, I felt like, that we were able to close out this year. It's been a challenging time. You know, Pastor Lanny shared how hard it was for he and Patty to have their last year here with us and not be able to be around the people they've been pouring their hearts into for four decades. it was challenging seeing him not being able to do that, experiencing that. And for us, this has been not the type of year that we would want to choose to step into ministry in such a profound way. But the Lord really used it to launch us forward in this time and give Pastor Lanny an opportunity to drop back in a much better way. Because we were trying to figure out how that whole transition was going to work out there. And the Lord made a way for it to happen very quickly. Now, don't think for a moment Pastor Lanny has not been involved in much of what's been taking on, we've been taking on this year. He has been an incredible support to Katie and I and to our leadership teams as we've been moving throughout this year. He has counseled us. He's given us wisdom. He's helped us with decisions. He's offered us space to figure those things out, but he's been really just a guiding support for us in that time. I've been so thankful to the Lord that we didn't step into this year without Pastor Lanny. It was a challenging year for us as leaders. If you read any of the blogs or articles out there that are geared towards Christian leaders and pastors, you'll know that there is a lot of fatigue that is happening. There's a lot of decision fatigue. There's a lot of people that are just being bowled over trying to figure out how to make things work, dealing with the same tensions and confusions and chaos that all of us are dealing with. And we have ministries that have been going under in this time, others that have been thriving. And I'm very thankful for how the Lord has brought us through this time together as a church. Being able to connect with each other has probably been one of our greatest challenges of this season, trying to figure out how to get that to work virtually, how to mix the virtual and in person, all that. I just want to thank all of you for how you have worked to adapt with us, how you have oftentimes really not been able to connect the way that you've wanted to but desired to, reached out to one another, how you've been helping us along and encouraging us as we're trying to make challenging decisions. One of the things we learned is any decision that we've been making through this year, you're going to have people that agree with it or disagree with it. And it's sharply agree or disagree with it. But what I've also witnessed is you guys choosing to lay aside what you would rather do so that you can be together and move forward with what we're doing here. And I'm incredibly, incredibly thankful for that. So we've experienced some highs and some lows this year. And I think the default mode for a lot of us through this year has been to be, oh, it's 2020. Oh, that's another 2020, you know. And look to write this year off as a, I'll quote, dumpster fire, right? That's what the culture wants us to do. That's what people are doing. And I would encourage you to abandon that mindset. Because this has been a very important year. It's been a vital year for us and many others. But here at our Father's house, this has been a vital time for us. And the Lord isn't surprised by what took place here. He's not surprised by what's going on. He has allowed this to take place for us for a purpose. I was talking with Pastor Steve earlier in this year. And I said, Steve, there are so many changes that are happening. I'm trying to figure out how to do all this, blah, 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 blah. And we're walking through it. And Steve, I'm so thankful to the Lord for bringing him and Kim to us because they are such experienced ministers and they have such a heart for you. They have a heart for us. And he is a wonderful, wonderful experience base to bring to bear, to really bring help to us. I'm very thankful to him. And so he spoke wisdom to me as I'm here trying to grapple with all these changes and how do I manage all this, Steve? And he says, yeah, but Jay, you didn't have to make any of the changes. Like, you didn't have to go in and convince anybody that we needed to change, which is a real challenge for a lot of ministers as they're starting out. He says, you just get to help figure out what the change is going to end up being. Thank you, Steve. I needed that perspective because change was upon us. And we've had to change and alter and pivot and do all that throughout this time. And God has done that for a purpose. He has shaken us at our core in a very deep way. Think about all the ministries we had running at the beginning of 2020. They're up, functioning. We had children's ministry downstairs. We had our prayers that heal the heart ministry. We had all sorts of things that were going on. And then it just got shut down. And for a good while, all that you could see was what we could capture with a camera in our library at our house. The Lord stripped everything down. And as we're building things back up, He's shaping it in a new way already. When I came to Him this last week, I said, "Lord, I feel like we're rebuilding the church." And He said, "No, you're remodeling the church. You're not starting from scratch. We have deep wells here. We have a sure foundation here." I grew up in the construction business, as many of you know. My dad was wonderful at building homes. He's a general contractor. We built new homes, built beautiful custom homes, and we did a lot of remodels. And I remember with remodeling, one of the first things you start doing, you go in there and you start gutting the place. You pull out all the old stuff. Sometimes you're taking the drywall off and all that stuff back down to the studs. You're pulling out walls. You're doing all this. You're stripping things down to what's essential. And you start thinking about the new patterns, the new flows that things are going to go through. And you rearrange a new structure so that in the new season, the new experience in that home is now suited for this new owner. Now, God is remodeling us. Like I said, we have deep well here at our Father's house. We have a sure foundation. We have an identity that God has established. He's been speaking about who we are prophetically for decades, and we're walking that out right now. And there's still more for us to go into. So He's reworking us. He's reshaping us. Our DNA hasn't changed, but how we're going to be functioning in the future will be different. And we don't even know what all that means yet. But He's talking to us about that. One of the things I spoke about earlier in this year was about how God is testing our mettle in the midst of this situation. He's pressurizing us. He's stretching us. He's putting us under heat, all that. And what's coming up to the surface in us is the impurities that He wants to bring off the top, because He's making something new. We can't go into the new season with what we had before. He's got to take it away. One of the things He showed me this week was Him like a blacksmith with this piece of metal, and He's hammering on it. Boom, boom, boom. Back into the fire. Pulls it back out. Bang, bang, and sparks are flying. I'm thinking, what on earth? He's hammering us. He's firing us. He's rehammering us. He's forging something new with us. And one of the things He was showing me was that in that process, I'm going to go a little bit engineering on you here. What happens to the grains of metal as you fold them back over on themselves and you keep folding it on over on themselves, that they become elongated, they go into tension, and this piece of metal becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. You look at these Japanese katanas that are out there, the number of layers that they go through of overlapping this metal makes them super, super hard and super, super sharp. It's incredible. But it's this process of stretching and overlapping and folding and hammering through. And God was showing me that's the type of thing He's doing to us right now. He keeps bringing us through these cycles of hammering, of firing, and all of that. And the tension that, He said, the tension that you feel right now, that's me. I'm putting that tension in. I have to embed that in you for what you're going to be facing in the future. He has to load us up. He has to test us. He has to bring us through the strain. He has to do that for our good. Because what we will see in the future is going to require a strength that we've never had before. I don't know what that means yet. But I do know this. He is at work in us to prepare us for that. Everything we've been going through this year has been for a purpose. Don't abandon the relationships that have been strained in this time. Don't abandon the things that He has been teaching you in this year, because He's put that there for a purpose. Don't abandon the pursuit of Him, because He's been embedding that in us in this season. If you're new to us, you might not have heard this before, but years ago, God identified us as a MASH unit, M-A-S-H, like the old show MASH, field hospital. And He started bringing people in here to be healed. It happened physically, it began to happen spiritually and emotionally, and the Lord started bringing about a spirit of healing in this place. And so He's spoken to us about being a MASH unit, a field hospital. Recently, He's talked about us being a healing center. He's calling us to higher and higher levels of bringing about healing and reconciliation and restoration. That's why we say we want to see a hurting world healed. It's embedded in our DNA. He's also called us a lighthouse. He said we're a beacon. We're to be a refuge. He's talked to us about being an equipping resource and a launching point. And we've seen these things happening over the years, but He's calling us to higher and higher levels of it. This year has been incredibly purposeful. We don't get there without going through a watershed time like this. Pastor Lanny's been talking a lot about transition recently. And he's probably going to keep talking about it, because it is what we're in the midst of. We're in a leadership transition. So it's coming to a close. But we as a people are in a transition right now. I've been reading in 1 Kings. I've been reading in Joshua. And recently been reading in 2 Timothy. And these are all transitions. These are all fathers passing things off to sons. And Lanny and I have been in that, in the crux of that for many years now. But I really started feeling this, well, before I go into that. I have received Joshua 1:9 from many people over the months and even recently. So I'm just going to read that to you because it's been a personal encouragement to me, and I hope it encourages you too, because you're in the midst of this. It says this: "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God has been with us as a people in a very real, tangible, and powerful way for decades. And just as He has been with us through the time as Lanny's been leading us, He's going to be with us in the future as He has me as your senior leader. He is for us. He has been investing in us. He's built a sure foundation, because He's going to move powerfully. And you people carry an incredible spiritual DNA. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. This has just jumped off the page for me. "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge." This is Paul to Timothy. "Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And Paul goes on to talk about how he's about to get poured out. It's the handoff point between him and Timothy. We're in a season where people are listening to whatever their itching ears want to hear. But we as the people of God are being called to sound doctrine and to stand firm in the truth of who God is and who we are in Him. Now more than ever in my lifetime, for sure, God is calling us to be the standard in the earth, and that's going to cost us. But as we sang earlier today, He is worthy of it all. So as we move forward into this new year, let's look at what took place here in 2020 and recognize that God has been preparing us for a future. 2020 isn't about 2020. Do you remember the sermons I shared with you about the storm and what was waiting for them on the other side of the storm? For those who haven't caught those sermons, in all these different storms that you see in Scripture, there's always another side to the storm. And what takes place there is oftentimes miraculous. There's healing, there's deliverance that takes place, and there's demonstrations of spirit and power. We've been in the midst of a crazy storm. We're 9 months into this storm. Sounds like something might get birthed at some point here. And I can't wait to see what it is, because if it's anything like what we believe God is sharing with us, we should see an incredible outpouring of people coming to the Lord. We should be seeing revival at the other end of this. And we who have stood firm in the Lord, and by standing firm, that doesn't mean we've looked awesome through the entire thing. We who've been on our knees before the Lord, we who have tried and failed before the Lord, we who have pressed into Him and wept and recognized our faults and turned to Him once again, we will be those that He uses. We'll be ushering people into the kingdom. I can't wait to see what God has. I can't wait to see what the Holy Spirit does. Because I believe it's going to be greater than anything we've ever seen before. And I'm so hungry and desirous for us as a people to be in just a part of that. So I want to thank you guys for this year, for your patience, for your endurance, your flexibility, your faithfulness. You have been such a faithful people. Your giving has been amazing. I've just been so blessed. We didn't know what to expect. You guys have been you this entire time. I'm so thankful to the Lord. Your commitment to the Lord, your pursuit of Him, your love for one another in practical, meaningful ways has been just astounding. I've just loved seeing how you guys have cared for one another through this season. And I want to say a thanks to our core leadership team. I'm just going to list everybody off by name who participates in our core leadership meetings. It's every other week, basically, throughout the year, we've been meeting. And it has been, we've had some challenging decisions to make. We've had to make some large departures from what we were planning at the very beginning of the year, as we spoke about. But these people have been coming together for you, for the Lord, as we've been trying to maneuver through this time. So Pastor Lanny, Tim Frink, Pastor Daniel, Pastor Steve Coy, Rachel Jarbo, Dana Smith, Keith Dobson, Pete Romano, Brandon Nickish, Jessica Chase, Brandon Monday, and Brian Jamerson. One day Jamersons were here. He was with us there as well. I just want to thank everybody for what they did there. And for our trustees as well, Pastor Lanny, Brian Dickerson, who recently stepped down, but he's been with us through this year. Brian Jamerson, prior to his departure in this year, was one of our trustees as well. Keith Wallace, Brandon Monday, Casey Pete, and also those who gather with us in the trustees to support us, Tim Frink, Casey McCumber, and Zadie Schlue. These have been men of great character who have helped us as we've been maneuvering through this time, planning for the future, making sure all of our fiduciary responsibilities are being met. Just excellent, excellent people who have been an incredible support to me. I'm just so thankful. And I want to thank Katie. Guys, one of my greatest joys this year has been stepping forward with Katie and seeing what God has been doing in her. We have had the opportunity, because we're around each other so much now, we talk through everything. And I'm so thankful to have her and to be able to do everything we've been doing on our Mondays, now Wednesdays, and sometimes whenever it's going to be, to be able to share what's on our hearts with you guys. But to be, I'm so thankful that you are all having an opportunity to get to see what the Lord has been laying inside her that is really coming forward in this time. I'm just so thankful to the Lord to be able to stand with her. And she has been, you've been amazing. You've been amazing. I just can't wait to see what the Lord is going to do with us and with you and what the church is going to be 10 years from now. I can't wait to see what it's going to be. And I'm so thankful to the Lord. So Lord, thank you for how you brought us through this year. Thank you, Lord, through all the highs, all the lows. Lord, you have been with us. You've never left us. You've never forsaken us. You've given us wisdom. You've given us insight. You've patched us up, Lord. You've mended us. You've taken such good care of us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the time that is to come. We thank you for all the preparation you're doing. We thank you for how you are embedding your heart in us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for how you've been calling us back to you. And calling us back to you. Say, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Stand firm in me. We thank you, Lord. We just bless your holy name, Jesus. We're so honored to walk through this life. We're so honored to be alive in this time, in this season, Lord. Lord, we do not accept the lie that this year is a dumpster fire. Lord, we choose to receive the truth, Lord, that you are preparing us as a people for the future that you have. Let us align ourselves and our purposes with your purposes, Lord. Let us come in humility and humbly surrender ourselves to you, Lord. That we be your workmanship. Do whatever remodeling you want to do in this church, Lord. It is yours. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. In conclusion, we're having a pursuit night. I'm going to say now it's going to be on New Year's Eve. Woohoo! From 6 to 7, we're going to be in here, and we're going to do like we did this last time. We'll have a new playlist together. I'd encourage you guys to come and be with us. It's going to be a wonderful time. We want to just sing out this year. As we come and bring it to a close, have the opportunity to just worship and praise God for his goodness through this year, his faithfulness, and looking forward to what he has for us this next year. There's a lot for us to celebrate. I am so thankful that I've been able to be home with my family this year, be so close to our kids, be with Katie so much. It has been a huge balm for us, and I don't want that part to end. I'm really, really thankful for it. So please come 6 to 7 this Thursday. We've got a 50 people limit. We're going to put it up on Eventbrite so you guys can sign up for it. And it's going to be a wonderful time. I just have loved being able to worship the Lord. That has been a huge, huge ministry to us in this season. So with that, let's talk about communion. If you're there at home right now, whether you're watching this live or you're watching this later on, I would encourage you to take communion with us. Don't just turn it off right now. You don't have to have one of these fancy-dancy cups that we have here. If you have to be creative, that's okay. But the act of us taking communion together, I think, man, this year, more than most, I've realized what a privilege it is to be able, for us to be able to do the same things at the same time with the same Spirit. And for us to be able to be in the same room together has never felt more precious. Even if we can't be hugging each other, even if it's still distanced, all of that, to be able to see each other's faces, to hear one another's voices as we're able to sing, what a wonderful gift. I can't wait for more people who are online at this moment to be able to participate in that as in the months that we have ahead. You know, when we come together at communion, we recognize that we're part of the body of Christ. This represents the body of Christ. His body broken for us, his blood poured out for us, but we recognize that we are part of the body of Christ. It's not just about the individual you. It does matter. You and your relationship with Jesus, that absolutely matters. But the relationships that we have with one another, the commitment that we have to one another, the importance of us walking through one another's sufferings with each other, rejoicing with those who rejoice, mourning with those that mourn, because we're all part of the same body. This is a triumphant thing. We have to be reminded of this. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to die for us, to pay the price for our sins, that we might have access to you again, that we would have the opportunity to be called children of God. I thank you, Jesus, for your great love, for your mercy, for your willingness to come and die for us, to put the Father on display for us in such a real and tangible and loving and raw way. We thank you that we get to be in you. Lord, I ask that your love for us would be reflected in the way that we love one another. That you would be put on display in us. Lord, that you would give us the strength to stand. You would give us unity in the Spirit, in the bond of peace. And Lord, we would steward the gifts and the graces and the callings that you have given us. We thank you for this year, Lord. We thank you for this new season. We ask, Lord, that you would give us strength and wisdom and grace and revelation as you have before, Lord, proving once again you are who you say you are. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Take and eat and drink in the name of Jesus. Our ushers will come and pick up your cups. Almost dropped mine. I want to thank you all for coming. I want to thank everybody who's online for joining in today. We love you. We can't wait to see your faces again. We're thankful that for just your commitment to continue to connect with us there. We're working hard to make it easier to connect there. And I look forward to being able to share those new things with you in this new year. But thank you for all those who've been able to come out and have been willing to come and join us. We're going to keep looking for more opportunities for us to be able to get together safely, of course. But as we move forward, I'm just really hoping that we'll be able to get more and more of us together, be able to worship the Lord, be able to fellowship together, and experience what God has for us in the future. So thank you. Closing out 2020, opening up 2021. Hope to see you guys with us there. Do we have anything? Okay. With that, God bless you. Have a great week and have a happy new year. See you soon. Bye-bye.